Welcome to Zero Downtime, the new podcast brought to you by DCD's editorial team in partnership with Vertiv, the world's leading critical infrastructure provider.
Vertiv has kept the world's leading businesses connected for more than 50 years. We build, deliver, and support critical infrastructure that's available, sustainable, and future-ready. Visit us at Vertiv.com and see what we can do for you.
Hello, welcome to the DCD Downtime podcast. Today, I'm talking to B.S. Tay, who is the Chief Commercial Officer at the hard drive maker Seagate. Hello there, B.S.
Peter, thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm fine. It's a pleasure to have you here. And you know, listeners to DCD might be wondering why I'm even talking to someone who makes hard drives. Hard drives are old school. And there's a lot of material out there that might suggest to everyone that the solid state drives have made them obsolete. So, BS, change my mind.
Well, Peter, I'm sure you've heard this before. Reports of our death have been greatly exaggerated. I have been in this industry for over 35 years, and I don't think that there's ever been a period where there's always some kind of speculation that this drive is going to be dead. On the contrary, Peter, the industry is alive and well. Our best days are ahead of us. Our storage demand is growing, and our relevance to our customers continue to increase. And most recently, we announced Mosaic 3, which is, which really is what I call an inflection point in the industry, which is an incredibly exciting technology innovation for the industry that is really set to position us extremely well in future.
Okay, yes. I mean, 35 years is like, that's only half the life of the hard drive industry. They were around for 35 years before you even arrived. They were probably around, they were around before I was born, and I'm sure before you were born.
Absolutely. And the first disk drive was from IBM, the size of a washing machine, and that just contained a few kilobytes.
Yes, that's right. But is recognizably the same technology we're using now, a magnetic platter that's spinning and a magnetic head that reads and writes by changing the magnetism of tiny little domains on that surface. And yeah, no matter how tiny those domains were, we've gone up orders of magnitude many times over since then, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you're correct. The fundamental technology for hard drives is still magnetic recording, right? Reading and writing on magnetic media. And as you've mentioned, incredible amount of innovation, in the last, 70 years, in particular, in the last, 40 years of the industry, going from the way that, fundamentally, right? It's all about how do we increase areal density? How do we pack more particles into a single surface, right? And we do it through a variety of methods along the way. And the most recent one is the most exciting of all, right? Because where we now are able to really, essentially breach the what we call the super paramagnetic level, where essentially, right, the magnetic grains are inherently unstable at room temperature.
Right. And so you can only put them a certain distance apart before they start interfering with each other and they don't hold their magnetic polarity. And you've got something that you just can't use for storage. I mean, they've been pushing up to the limit of that for a long while. They changed the direction in which they magnetized the cells. They changed the gas inside the hard drive to change the aerodynamics so they could fly the heads closer in helium instead of air. And to me, I just thought, that's it. That's the limit. They can make them cheaper. They can, change the form factor slightly, but hard drives had reached the wall. That was all that was ever going to happen. And then this thing called Hammer.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. A lot of technology and innovation, and that's why amongst them all, right? This is the mother of all innovations, and I'm really not exaggerating that. It's coming together a few critical pieces of technology. The first one is the media itself, Peter, and that's the base. The foundation is how can you create a media where the magnetic grains can be so tightly squeezed together, therefore increasing the aerial density, right? And that's a technology that we deploy called the Super Lattice Platinum Alloy Media, that we've been able to develop. Second, right, is now when we actually pack that together, right? And as you mentioned earlier, Peter, at room temperature, right, if you squeeze them closer, too close together, it becomes unstable. This media basically locks them in tightly such that it doesn't move at room temperature. The problem in locking them this way is that, well, then you can't write on it at room temperature. And therefore, this new technology with HAMR, and that's called heat-assisted magnetic recording, the operating word being heat-assisted. So what we do is we use a laser, and that's the latest innovation and addition to the hard drive technology. We attach the laser to the right head. We shoot a beam of laser to the magnetic particle, heating it up. So then, therefore, we're now able to write on it and manipulate it, right, or magnetize it, and then we cool it down, and then it stays in its position. So that's the second piece of innovation. The third piece of innovation is now when we're actually packing it so closely together, and we're spinning it, right, at something 200 RPM, then you need to have a super sensitive and super accurate reader, and that's the seventh generation spintronics reader. That we've been able to develop and come up with that. And putting it all together is how we actually control the workings of all of the different pieces. And that's where our in-house developed controller, which is based on 12 nanometer platform, really comes into play. So really, it's not just one thing or two things, it's several things coming together that creates this amazing development.
And I really like the way it must have been a very left field kind of development, and that actually is not that different to the advances we've had in the past, when they went from to perpendicular recording. That must have been a sort of a big shake up where people said, we record our here's how we record the magnetism. You can't do it any other way. And then somebody coming along and saying, yes, you can. And then somebody saying, we've reached the limits of what we can do with aerodynamics and flying the heads. And then somebody coming along and saying, yeah, you've reached the limits in air. You could put it in something else. And so what I like here is that you've got somebody saying, we've got this medium. It can be really, really dense. It could be as dense as we need it to be. Trouble is, you can't read and write on it. You'd need to have a incredibly fast laser or something like that to heat it up. And but where are we going to get one of those? So you've had to get a partner who can do some really out of the box laser work to make this whole thing work, haven't you?
No, absolutely. But speaking of the technology, you're actually spot on, right? There's been technology evolution and improvement along the way. When we went from longitudinal recording to perpendicular recording, to me, that was an inflection point, right? Because it increases the aerial density orders of magnitude. And then you've got, and you mentioned, right, putting helium in it so you can fly closer, and then maybe introducing shingled magnetic recording so that you can actually, all, but those are, I think, basically incremental increases, right? What we have here is much like the perpendicular recording, right? It's an inflection point. Now, think about it this way. In the last 10 years, the aerial density growth has been hovering, averaging about 10%. So meaning every year, right, capacity, aerial density grows 10%. With HAMR or the Mosaic 3 platform, we're doubling that. We're doubling the growth of aerial density. That is how significant this evolution is from a technology standpoint, and the benefit to our customers as well. So that's something that for us to really keep in mind. Now, on the laser, yes, you're right. Laser, it's not something that innate technology we've been working. So we've basically gone out to look for a partner, and we're very, very fortunate to be able to partner with Sony, who's obviously had a lot of history in lasers, and they've really, together with them, we've developed the rider with the photonics technology that allows us to really enable the HAMR technology. But at the same time, right, we're not just stopping there. Now, one of the hallmarks for Seagate and one of our value proposition has been our vertical integration. So meaning we own the different key technology within the disk drive, and we own the manufacturing and the IP and the technology in it. Laser is a very critical part of HAMR technology. And because of that, we've also invested, and we've also come up with our own in-house laser technology as well to complement what Sony is able to do. So now we're able to offer more predictability and more stability to our customers, because we're going out there to say, no, we're not just sole source with Sony, or we're actually having a dual source of laser supply, which gives them a lot of benefit.
Okay. The arrival of HAMR hasn't been 100% sort of smooth and predictable. I mean, I'm thinking that people who watch hard drives will have known from sort of, 3 years, 4 years, that we've been hearing that HAMR will be delivered, and then it hasn't arrived. And, I've always assumed it's because it's really too hard and the technology wasn't going to work. But it's a more complicated story than that, isn't it? What were the delays? Why has it taken so long to appear? I feel unkind asking someone to look at that question, but, so it's brilliant. What kept you?
Yeah, no, it's not at all, Peter. Yes, firstly, it is an extremely difficult technology. And Seagate, we've been working on it for more than 15 years. So it's not something that we woke up yesterday, oh, hey, let's attach a laser and let's do HAMR. No, it's been something that we've been working on for a while. Mm-hmm. The challenge is always about economics at the end of the day, right? You can come up with the latest and greatest and make it work, right? But, but can you sell it at the right price to make money? We've been able to demonstrate HAMR operating, right, for the last few years. However, it's not at the capacity level to make it viable commercially. So, and the reason for that is because the conventional recording method, right, was still able to produce higher capacity and higher areal density, and it really wasn't a time for it to cut over. So in short, right, we've been able to demonstrate HAMR working well for a number of years now, but it is only now where we've reached a level where we've been able to demonstrate it working at a high enough areal density to make it commercially viable.
Right, because, conventional hard drives weren't actually standing still, were they? I mean, they were still growing at, 10% a year?
Yeah, that's correct.
Which in most walks of life, that would be quite impressive. That would be, well worth celebrating. And so we've had a few years when you've had this in the labs ready to go, but those conventional drives just wouldn't stop improving in the meantime.
No, absolutely, you're right. Now, when you think about it, right, if areal density grows at average of, say, 10%, then you have to think about the growth in data, the demand for data, the growth in the generation of data. IDC in a DataSphere study, in a white paper, they've said that the data that's being generated is doubling every 4 years or so, which means it's growing at a rate of greater than 25%. So when you have data that's growing at that rate, but the technology is not catching up with the growth of the demand for data, then that's really where, you know, you really, you know, hit some challenges.
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about a projection of demand growing in the future. I mean, we've just come out of a few years where actual demand for actual hard drives was a bit disappointing for you. It's been hard times for hard drive makers, hasn't it?
Yes, unfortunately, it's so. Yes, and the last 2 years have been an anomaly. As I said, if you look back, right, in the last 40, 50 years, or that's last 40 years, you know, when data, you know, was started to be collected, right? The last 2 years have been the first time ever exabyte shipment actually declined. Never before has that happened, right? And there's a variety of different reasons why that happened, you know, from macroeconomics to other dynamics as well. But at the end of the day, right, you know, our belief, the thesis for growth hasn't changed. It's just kind of like, oh, it just got reset by a couple of years very quickly. I think the question is that will the growth hasten the next couple of years to catch up, right? Or is it just a reset to grow again? I mean, you know, we don't know. However, what we do know is that the demand is definitely going to continue to grow. There's no question and no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So, I mean, we've got a commercial officer here rather than a technology officer here. So these questions are, this is your job, really. So you actually kind of sat on Hammer for a while, waiting for the moment when all the pieces were in place and things like the arrival of generative AI and everything else. You've got a solid projection that there's going to be a huge growth in demand for storage. That's why you've chosen this particular moment to launch it.
Yes and no. I wouldn't quite calling it set on it, right? You know, we've continued to evolve and improve on it over the past few years, right? And increasing the areal density of what it's able to produce. As I said, right? You know, you can call it a competing technology versus conventional magnetic recording, right? Or you can call it complementary. Right, so it continues to grow, and I think, you know, it's just reached a point right now where we're able to demonstrate the significant growth, right, and therefore delivering the right economics for our customers.
Mm-hmm. Right, and talking about the actual growth, we've gone up from 10% improvement a year to a faster rate of growth in Hammer, because the first edition of Hammer isn't the end of the story. It will continue to get better. At what point does the density double, and how often does it go on doubling after that?
The density, the areal density, our projection is that we're able to double it every 4 years.
Right. And I mean, that almost sounds like a Moore's Law style prediction. Will it go on forever like that?
No. That probably reached a point, right? You know, where, you know, there's just so much that we can actually grow. But I think, you know, that point is still some ways out. So certainly, you know, we've talked about definitely have being able to demonstrate 4 terabyte per disk, 5 terabyte per disk and beyond. And we've talked about it publicly as well. We have absolute confidence that we can actually demonstrate and produce areal density that's higher than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And from the point of view of the products that people are going out and buying, it's wonderful to say, you know, you can have a 4 terabyte disk. I mean, if it costs 6 times as much, you wouldn't bother to buy it, perhaps. The productization, the process of adding a tiny, immensely sophisticated laser to every hard drive doesn't make the price go up in a huge jump, does it? What's happening there?
So actually, that's where I have to correct your perception. So
first,
yes. So I think when people buy disk drives, right? You know, there's a certain group of people that buy based on dollar per terabyte. Right?
Yep.
And so obviously the higher the capacity, the higher the terabytes, right? And, you know, you, well, I think, you know, intuitively, you can say that you will get a cost savings in the form of paying less dollars per terabyte.
Yeah.
In the first edition of the Mosaic platform, we are focusing and targeting shipping maximum capacity on a single disk drive. So in the case of the Mosaic 3, where we're getting 3 terabytes per disk, we'll be shipping 30 terabyte plus disk drives to the market. And yes, yep, those are expensive, but on a dollar per terabyte, it's probably cheaper than the existing 20 plus terabyte that's out there in the market today. And that's for a target of specific customers like data center operators, where it works very, very well for them. Now, for people like you and I, that perhaps we want to go out and buy a 4 terabyte disk drive, right? Or an 8 terabyte disk drive. Well, that's not the drive for you yet. Yet. Now, as we evolve the technology, think about it this way. If we get to 4 terabyte per disk, we could essentially give you an 8 terabyte drive with just 2 disks. As compared to today, where if you were to buy an 8 terabyte disk, it's got 4 disks. Now, it's not rocket science to figure out that, well, 4 disks versus 2 disks, 2 disks is likely to be cheaper, even if you add all those other bells and whistles into it, right? So when we get to that stage, right, you know, we're actually able to deliver cost savings, even, you know, for the lower capacity points to our customers, simply because we're using less parts for the same capacity.
All right. Yes, that makes perfect sense.
And all of those things, not only does it bring that down, there's other savings as well. Some more important than others, like power. Power terabyte, right? Obviously, when you're spinning a disk, spinning a drive with 2 disks versus 4, you need less power, right? So the power per terabyte, you know, goes down. It's lighter and all of the good stuff that that comes along with it.
Yes, there'll be a little bit of power for the laser, but so small you won't notice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and I mean, and those kind of benefits are the ones that you're are absolutely there in the first products, the ones that are going for the data center operators, the hyperscalers, because you know, a hard drive that stores 3 terabytes or however many terabytes we're talking about here. The if you can store twice as much data in a given space for the same amount of power, then that in your, and you've got petabytes of data stored in a rack, those savings in power and space will aggregate very quickly, won't they?
Absolutely, and that all comes together under the total cost of ownership, or TCO, and that's a value proposition to customers, right? If you were to compare a 30 terabyte Mosaic 3 drive with, let's say, a common one that they've been using, like a 16 terabyte drive, you save about 40% in power per terabyte, right? And that's immense, 40%, right? And then in space as well, they said, well, in a single rack, right, you increase your capacity, you double your capacity in a single slot, right? Mm-hmm. And not add much more power. It's a very, very fantastic value proposition for our data center operators.
So data center people are going to have to start redesigning their data centers in order to get the best out of these products.
No, not at all, because the Mosaic 3 drive is plug and play with any other drive, because the magic, Peter, is not in the interface. The magic is actually, you know, in the drive technology, the read-write technology itself. So the interface with the host, the CPU, the GPUs and all that, does not change at all. So you can take a conventional conventional recording drive today, right, pull it out and put a Mosaic 3 drive, and it'll work exactly the same.
Okay, so maybe redesign in a good way. You know, your storage area will shrink a bit, and the hard drives will, for the same power, store more, and they'll politely step out of the way so that the data center can spend more of its power and space budget on those hungry GPUs and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the biggest one is really redesigning the architecture and the software to be able to accommodate higher and higher capacity disk drives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, things like big data architectures like Hadoop, do they need to be sort of alerted to this new possibility?
No, not at all, as I said, right? I think the, at the interface level, it's exactly the same, right? I mean, if you use the disk drive just as a disk drive volume, right? I think it's just a question of designing the software to be able to accommodate a larger volume versus, because of the capacity versus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sort of 8-12 years down the line, when we've doubled capacity a few times with Hammer, I can predict that, you'll be sitting there still and I'll be sitting here still, and we'll be saying, so that's as far as we're going with Hammer. Now, finally, the solid state drives will take over, and it's goodbye to hard drives. what do you think I guess on past experience, you'd have to guess it's possible. It'll be yet another surprising technology that will leap out of the lab and change things forever. Any guesses what that might be?
Well, I certainly would not bet against us. We're constantly on the lookout, right? For different technology out there, right? Both internal and external, to see, what would be the next evolution in storage technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay, brilliant. And no doubt possible spin-offs from this as well. I mean, I'm sure those lasers are doing something that hasn't been done before, and somebody may find a way to use those lasers for another purpose too.
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
Hmm. Right. Well, BS, it's been lovely talking to you, and we'll book that interview in for 12 years' time. you can tell me what happens after Hammer.
Well,
thank you for talking.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, and I certainly hope that we talk well before 12 years.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
Sustainability is no longer a nice to have. It's a priority. Vertiv Power, cooling and IT management solutions for critical infrastructure, are designed to reduce the use of energy, water, and space. From innovative liquid cooling to dynamic grid services, we work hand in hand with customers to enable them to meet their data center sustainability goals. Visit us at vertiv.com and see what we can do for you.
Thanks for listening to the Zero Downtime Podcast, brought to you in partnership with Vertiv, the world's leading critical digital infrastructure provider. Don't forget to like this podcast and subscribe to our channel. We'll see you again next time.